Vulnerable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
Welcome to our admirable friends. It's Tuesday night.
Welcome, everybody.
It must be Tuesday night. Yeah. We're with our admirable friends.
We're back again.
We are.
No
I hope we
tonight.
Don't. I hope we don't disappoint the listening audience. It's just the two of us.
Just the two of us tonight.
No company sitting in the studio here, chatting away.
But we've got a good subject.
We do. And I think it's better that it's the two of us.
I think
it can get, I don't know, kind of dry in a way, or misconstrued, or it's on vice and virtue. Not one of the more exciting, but we're going to make it exciting, aren't we?
Definitely.
I'm not convinced. You didn't sound like when you said definitely.
No, last week was a great show. I mean, we had a lot of good feedback. A lot of people wrote in afterwards.
We did. For those that might not have listened or not, we went over the contemplation journal, and we talked about, we had Alex on, and he's also a certified Gallup strength coach, and he talked about the raw talents. We don't call them weaknesses from strengths. What we're finding is they're just talents, raw talents that haven't matured yet to become a strength. A strength would be something that's a kind of a go-to fallback thing that is a tap-in that we kind of consider.
And through the process of integrating Gallup science with our admirable friends curriculum, we noticed that what really makes a talent raw is kind of the fact that it's being covered up by stress. It's natural, but there's a stressful element that's kind of obscuring the talent. And by working through the journal and actually being honest and open about that raw side of the talent, we opened up some huge insights into how we can make change and transform ourselves at the action level.
Well, I like to say it was the cliff notes to doing the journal, because it really, when we first started talking about the journal, we had a lot of questions about, well, how do I start? And this is really hard.
Or what should I journal?
Exactly. Yeah. And then it was sort of like the cliff notes, because of the raw talent themes or the raw strengths that you have that haven't matured yet. We found a connection between those are some of the things that you say to yourself, those are something that I would like to improve on. I think as far as reliable happiness, if I worked on these and made them a little more mature, I wouldn't be feeling so stressed.
Yeah. It's part of our daily support, is to do that journaling. And it's really worked out well. It's becoming a tool that people are benefiting from. I'm appreciative of that. They're actually using this tool.
It's kind of exciting when people are talking about the journal, I did this, or
well,
I
you remember
this.
The first tool we built for logging or journaling had us logging in, all of the to-dos that we wanted to do. It was kind of a busy journal. Arriving at this, and it came quite naturally as we get closer and closer to intent that precedes our action. We said, well, let's write a journal that will bring us closer to intentionality.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it we need to think about if we miss intention? You know, in an ideal world, if we were present, we would be there without every intention before we would do it and would make the right choice. When we kind of reverse engineer our poor choices, it seems pretty obvious that we missed the intent that preceded the action.
Yes.
And it's funny, you know, when you start being honest about that, intention, like you and I have found in our discussion, we've made comments after we did something wrong and say, well, that wasn't my intention.
Oh, they, we were talking about this.
Yeah, and then you turned around and said, well, if it wasn't your intention, well, it's almost like we're repackaging our attention with a narrative when we really had no clue what our intention was.
Right. I've heard people say that before. Well, it wasn't my intention to. Okay.
Well, what was your intention?
So what you're really saying is you consciously, you know, did something intentionally to not look intentional?
I think we just make it up. You know, the truth is we're not there with our intention, but you can't.
What's a slick cover?
But theoretically, all of our thoughts drive our actions. And so when we act in an unskillful way, there has to be a thought preceding. And as you further drill down and you say that, well, most everything we do is for pleasure, then you get to this point of almost like a sick feeling is, what is it that's pleasurable that I'm doing that's hurting me?
Exactly.
It's crazy. But it was good because it was an honest.
It's a good crazy.
Yeah, it's a good crazy because there is an allure in each one of those intentions as you kind of fill out your journal. There's definitely an allure and you got to come to grips with it. And then you kind of weigh it out against the drawbacks. So you're actually thinking through the past and saying, well, I guess there's a pattern of allure here, and this is the drawbacks. And let me weigh one against the other. So you're building the case to transform your behavior, is what it boils down to. And that journal's become a great little guide.
Well, we've gotten a lot of feedback on it, and generated a lot of curiosity and excitement and wonder. So it's really a good thing.
And it's only on a spreadsheet right now. We're in the process of putting it online, so you can just fill it out with your iPhone and, you know, put it anytime you start thinking about it. And
that's convenient.
It's going to be neat. It's going to be neat. Let's before we get in the body of virtue, let's give our gratitudes for the week. You want to start? You usually start.
I initially had a gratitude. And then it got substituted with something I was much more grateful for. It got trumped by something that happened at work. And for anybody that's ever had computers crash or files lost or anything of that magnitude, yesterday afternoon at work, I found that my computer had been attacked by a ransom software virus. And all of my files were missing. And all I can remember is this sick feeling that I had. It's just, I just was absolutely just sick about it.
Right.
And so, of course, I called the IT department and they do this remote where they log in and they look. And, you know, it's sort of like when you go to the doctor's office and the nurse says, well, the doctor wants to talk to you kind of thing.
Yeah.
When they start saying, we're having somebody from IT come down and take your computer,
get your things in order.
Good.
Get your things in order.
It's like, wow. But what was funny was when the guy was on the phone and he was saying to me, now I need you to send me an email of all the files that I need, which ones are missing. And all I could think of was like this emergency 911 program on TV where the person calls in and I said to him, they're gone. They're all gone. It's like you came into a house and you saw like people wiped out. They're all gone. And I just couldn't help but laugh and think that that's kind of sounded like a really bad TV program at the time. But long story short, they, of course, thank God they backed up, but I was saved and they got my files back. But to the extent of when they say, well, we haven't seen this before kind of thing, then I start to worry. So I just felt like I was the Typhoid Mary of the department.
So
like, I hope it wasn't my
so what's your gratitude here?
The IT guys. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I got up.
You're
I
off track.
It was for every IT guy that had his hands on my computer yesterday because I saw my job get flushed down the toilet because I infected everybody's computer, or at least I thought so, but I found that wasn't the case.
Right.
So, okay, now you can be grateful.
I forgot.
No.
No, just kidding. No, I am grateful for our partners in India. That are doing the programming for the website. I realized that this week because they brought up on Admirable Friends the inspiration part of the journaling, where you display a gallery and you get to filter in what parts. You know, we have a gallery set up by categories of inspirational pictures.
Yes.
And the categories are like the 10 ideal mind qualities and, you know, reliable happiness. And I set up a bunch and I started loading some pictures in and some inspirational quotes, which I usually load on Facebook. In any case, now they're online for anyone. And by the way, if you don't have a subscription, it's free at admirablefriends.org. You'll have this inspirational journal as part. And you can select and filter out. They put a great little filter in there so you can decide this week in a random shuffle what inspirational quotes and pictures you want to see.
Very cool.
Yeah. And they just did a beautiful job with it. I mean, they did it the first time, and it came out right, and it just came out looking real good. And I said, these guys are good. You know, I really am grateful to have found a group in India that, and it's weird. You get a kick out of it, because I'm talking to them on Skype, but I'm dropping you off at work in the morning. You know, I get up
and... I had a question, though. Excuse me. What do they ever comment on Admirable Friends, or what they think about the concept, or, I mean, what are they...
Well, of course, you know, their culture is, at least the group we have, is very much into this style of coaching and, culturally. They're Jains, I believe, is their religious background. But, they get a kick out of it. They really do. Hardik, who I work with there all the time, is he's my contact. And, you know, he's taken a real personal interest in the site. So it's above and beyond the creative side. They're practicing and, you know, talking about this, and they're adding their flavor to it.
Well, they connect with it, obviously, and that must make it even better.
It is. It's a great project to have something and have a developer that's as talented technically as programming as they are, but also very interested in the material and, you know, adding to it and saying, no, buddy, I think you might want to consider this. And,
nice.
And I realized, like, this morning he said to me, you know, and I usually say, good morning, Hardik, and, you know, of course, it's evening in India. And, you know, he said this morning, when he picked up the phone and spoke to me this morning, and said, good morning, buddy. I said, that's nice, Hardik. You actually spoke to me from my point of view. You know, if I was calling you each day, I'd be saying, good evening, Hardik. So he was just so respectful that it was morning here. And I noticed that little tidbit. And that's why I want to share that gratitude towards the group in India. They're very much part of our project. So, anyways, we kind of this week we're going to cover virtue again, like we've done. You know, well, it was probably 10-12 weeks ago that we covered virtue.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're going to try to do, since the journal is becoming a real great daily tool, as well as those of you out there that meditate, that's another tool, and the two aren't mutually exclusive. Some of you meditate and journal. Bottom line is both of those tools help slow us down to really consider and be much more heedful of our actions.
Right.
And use our actions and be honest about them so we can get to intention where change takes place.
It takes
place intention.
Well, and much like last week, were sort of the cliff notes on the allure and the drawback part of the contemplation journal. By looking at your raw, immature strengths. The virtue part of it this week is going to tie into the skillful intentions, how to help you get the skillful intentions.
Yeah.
The clip notes for the skillful.
What we can do is as we go through virtue on the handout, we'll try to tie it everywhere we can to the daily activity.
Okay.
So we take the concept, you know, that old CPU, take the concept, practice with it, understand it.
Right.
So we can incorporate the concept of virtue, the ideal mind quality number 5,
mm-hmm.
which falls under the truth category, how studying that mind quality from a concept standpoint applies to daily journaling. So if we can kind of thread that through
sure,
tonight's show.
Sure, we can pull it together for everybody.
Yeah, so they're not just reading these things out of context. You know, it's like, okay, should I be studying the ideal mind qualities? Well, we're talking a lot about journaling. Where do the two tie? Well, this stuff all ties together because you have to apply concepts in the practical side.
Right.
It's like what you learned when you went to nursing school. You learned in a book. Then when you actually went and did your practical, mm-hmm. you had to apply it. Well, the journal and the meditation is where we actually start applying some of these concepts and test them out.
Right. And a lot of the things we've done in the last week or two, as well as tonight, are the tools. We're trying to give tools to our admirable friends so they can make the journal more productive. And like I said, it gives them a kind of a jump start or the cliff notes.
The support. Yeah. The tools, the support, the discussion. You know, I know we've had a couple of discussions with admirable friends this week about their journaling. And you can see that even the discussion, if they weren't writing it down, just talking to us about their entries and having that dialogue back and forth, we both benefited from that. So
absolutely. And I'm going to bring that up a little bit once you get...
Well, we're there. Because what I want to do is, this week in the show, and maybe in the future, what you and I, in addition to starting with our gratitudes, what would be nice is to share our journal and how we have been progressing ourselves.
Okay.
And talk a little bit about that each week. So why don't you take the first?
Well,
what did you
I'm glad. I was inspired this week, actually, to be more honest and truthful in my writings. I think kind of like I tend sometimes to be like a little too careful. Do you know what I mean? Kind of get honest, but not too open and honest with myself.
That's why you like that quote I sent you an email today?
I did. I really like that. Did you see I sent it back and
yeah,
I said I really
I
like
love this. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So we had a conversation with one of our admirable friends that came over this weekend. And we were starting to talk about journaling. And all of a sudden, she whips out her cell phone and she starts going down the list of, you know, the things that she's working on. And then she starts, but as she's speaking about them and relaying her thoughts and her feelings and her emotions to them, I'm thinking to myself, boy, that's a lot more truthful and raw than what I feel that I'm approaching mine.
Ah.
So I found that
the student
she
becomes the teacher.
She inspired me to relook at some of these journal entries that I'm making and see if I can't be more open and honest and get really down to the bare bones, like just kind of strip it down and
there's the benefit of admirable friends.
Yeah. I mean that kind of spoke to me.
You said if she can do it, I can do it.
I mean, she was so honest and open, and I was so appreciative of how she was doing it. But what struck me were the words, and when she looked at her phone and just kind of went down the whole thing, it's like, yeah, I'm gonna aspire to do a little bit better with that this week.
Okay, were there any insights? I guess that was your insight for the week. Excellent.
What did you find?
I better shut this phone off. Those of you can hear that time of day.
Oh, speaking of phones, or people can type in, can't they? Do the text chat thing?
Yeah, the text, the chat. They can type in. I've got on the open window here so we can see the chat.
And so how do they get to it or do it?
bbsradio.com/admirablefriends and just go to the online chat and type in.
Okay.
If you want to share, especially during this segment of the show when we talk about our journaling and what we heard, and this kind of ties to the virtue section for me. As you know, I took up the virtue of not eating past 1 o'clock every
mm-hmm.
day. And way to prove myself to climb Mount Everest.
Right.
It was meant to step up my meditations in the afternoon and to go hand in glove, really test the issue of restraint take on a virtue,
mm-hmm.
say I will not eat after 1 o'clock and find out what the impact on my practice was. Well, it was really, really good. It's like most everything, it's not what you expect. But I did notice that by restraining it absolutely strengthened my resolve to meditate. It was weird. You know, you give up, and it looked like you're trying to do two hard things at once, but because you gave something up, you were completely focused on what I was doing. So it worked, and of course, what I've got in my journal, and I've noticed in most of my journals, when you start going through the allure, mm-hmm. which is really your cravings, if you do enough of these, you start to get a pattern of your allures, and mine are usually the sensual cravings, you know, the niceties, you know, wanting to be a pleasant experience. So by giving up the food, which is right at the bowels of my problems relating to, you know, wanting to be satisfied, it opened up so much in terms of understanding and insight. So it was the things that would be harder to do.
Right.
But when you added that element of restraint, I really think it's what opened up the change for me. If I had just said, okay, I'm going to meditate more this week and still continue to crave and satisfy my cravings for eating, I don't think I would have accomplished what I thought.
So it like enhanced your determination or persistence? Or
it's hard to say. It just, I know the results have been extraordinary.
Huh.
And I know it's tied to restraint because I feel a sense of accomplishment and resolve when I sit there, and go through it each afternoon. So I really get this virtue thing, you know, as far as taking it on as an internal way to gauge how your practice is doing. So it was a good adjunct for me, and it worked in boosting.
Wow.
Still got a lot of work to do, though, but it worked well.
Little steps, right? Isn't that what we tell everybody? Take one thing, work on it.
Yeah.
Because you want to get successes.
Okay, so before we go to break, I'd like to, we've got five, 6 minutes here. I'd like to review the big picture, which we sent everybody this week, kind of the program overview. So when we bring on virtue after the break, and also related to the journal, that we have this, the context of the program in our minds. So we sent out what's called the program overview. And if you go to admirablefriends.org, before you sign on at the bottom, there's a link there that says program overview. And it is a one sheet of paper. We passed it out Thursday night at the Fort Worth meditation. And people responded well to it because it was simple. You know, it overviewed three aspects of our training program, or anybody's training program. It's their strategy, right? And then number one. Number two is the tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And strategy is kind of like the big picture or the shift of mind. And tactics are really the resolutions of each week. What are our resolutions? And then you have the daily executions.
Right, the to-do list.
What's that?
Like the to-dos.
The to-dos each week. So the strategies that we keep running through all have to do with acting authentically, being heedful of our actions, and using stress as the teacher. Those are three things you're going to hear over and over again from Admirable Friends, that it's very important to kind of get those three strategies down. And again, Carol, can you just recap those three strategies?
Absolutely. The three under the strategy category are heedfulness, which is being vigilant over our actions, because they shape who we are and determine the quality of life for us and others.
Right.
So,
and we're doing that with the journaling. You can see on an execution standpoint how we're executing that strategy, right?
Yes.
But it's an overriding strategy because actions matter,
yes.
And we're really paying attention to actions. We're paying less to the question as to who we are and more to what it is we do.
Mm-hmm.
So actions are a big part of our strategy, paying attention to them. And then, of course, when you segue into the second component being authenticity.
Yes, that's the honest paying attention and to our true intentions that precede our actions. But being very honest and truthful with those intentions, looking
right.
at them for for what they really are.
And you can see how that goes hand in glove with the actions.
Mm-hmm.
We start with being very accountable to our actions, individually responsible, no longer playing a blame game. It's our deal.
Right.
Our actions produce the quality of our life. But we have to be authentic and look into the intentions or the thoughts that precede the actions. And then the third component part is we got to be willing to let stress be our teacher.
Right.
In other words, if you're going to look into these actions and you're going to look into them honestly, you almost have to let stress be your teacher. Because if you think about it, not if you think about it, if you've done this long enough, you realize that the reason you weren't looking at this was as you were ignoring stress.
That's correct.
You would just keep on going and you're trying to make it happen as best you could. You wouldn't really recognize stress. And you just keep doing the actions and you're saying there's got to be a pony in here somewhere.
Sure. But it goes to that premise, you know, how many, you know, feel that they caught, you know, they cause their own stress and
right.
And how many have stress and raise their hand and stress is your teacher. And
so if we can keep those three strategies in the background as
mm-hmm.
we're always part of our game plan includes those three components. Then on a weekly basis, and I like doing these resolves on Sunday evening when I kind of think about my week. Those three resolutions are basically, abandoning excesses, which I call the simplified resolution.
Right.
You know, abandon the excesses.
The unskillful sensory pleasures to more skillful pleasures.
Yeah.
Not getting rid of pleasures altogether. Nobody wants you to be
it's a trade.
Miserable. But
it's a trade. You're trading pleasures with better outcomes in mind. You know, you're thinking, which is the better outcome? But you're willing to abandon excesses because the excesses is what's clouding. Like I just gave the example. Now, that was, for some, a probably extreme example, not eating after 1 o'clock. But any little small restraint or trade, works. In fact, you know, I told you when I gave up eating after 1, what I do is get a piece of chocolate at like 5 o'clock at night.
Is that your treat?
That's my pleasure, you know, after I do the meditation and actually don't eat in the evening. I do support that. So the element of abandoning excesses or simplifying is a tactic that we have to keep thinking about, especially in the land of excess.
Yes.
The second one would be?
Would be abandoning ill will. That's towards ourselves and others. So practicing goodwill towards ourselves and others is a good resolution for the week to just reinforce
that
but
would be
not
a to-do.
Have ill will.
But as far as that would be a to-do. But as far as a tactic goes, is the resolution
to abandon
ill will. You're saying to yourself, I will not hold ill will in my heart. And you start that on Sunday and you repeat that resolution because it's an important resolution. It's almost like a constitution.
But isn't that goes to the vow and the determination of the overriding...
Oh, yeah.
We talk about the overriding umbrella to all the ideal mind qualities, we say determination is a vow.
Right.
And so these are resolutions are literally the vows.
Yeah, it's retaking it. So the abandoning the ill will would be the second, and then the last one is abandoning harmful behavior. So if you really think about it, and it's kind of like ill will, but it's a little bit different. You know, harmful towards ourselves and towards others is something you have to think about. And even the words that we use and the words that...
Harmful speech.
Yeah. We have to be willing to abandon this stuff because it doesn't help us. It gets in the way of our freedom, our personal freedom and our personal development. So these resolutions are something that each week we do. And then lastly, the three execution to-dos are what?
Inspiration and education. So regularly listen to and read concepts that relate to the strategies and the tactics. So that
yes.
could be reading handouts that we send or listening to Admirable Friends podcasts or...
Signing up on a website.
Sure.
Even the inspirational part of the journal. Look at a few inspirational quotes. Go to the Facebook page. Just some reminder that this lifestyle is happening.
Speaking to other Admirable Friends that might inspire you, like I was inspired.
Don't mention her name.
I won't.
Okay. And the second part would be the to-do would be to journal and and contemplate and or contemplate.
Yes.
And the third part would be meditation. So these are three aspects of the to-dos that we execute every day. Mm-hmm. So it's the strategy, the weekly resolutions, and the to-dos. All right, so before we get into the body, let's take a break, and we'll be back in a few moments.
Talk about virtue.
Talk about virtue.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is, what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
And we're back.
Okay, we're going to get into the virtue, Carol. You want to get us started?
We are. The virtue is under the truth quality of the mind, the 10 ideal mind qualities. It's actually number 5, and it's under the truth categories.
Yes.
And
which follows authenticity.
Yes. So the definition of virtue would be a characteristic of a person which supports individual moral excellence and collective well-being. So.
It's sort of succinct, isn't it?
It is.
And there's all kinds of virtues, but in particular.
Now, let me just kind of interrupt you because I want to preface this all by saying this isn't, when we talk about virtue, we're not trying to put it on such a high moral pedestal to make it so pious and high and mighty.
No.
These are very tangible, achievable, you know, doable kind of virtues. We're talking very basic.
Well, but I think what makes them not so high and mighty is we are opting, it's our choice to pick up these virtues. There's not an outside influence.
Right.
Here.
There's no, yes.
It's no saying this is, you should be honest or not, this is, you're going to be damned or whatnot if you don't.
That's a gold, this should be the gold standard by which you operate.
Yes. And you're doing it for a specific purpose. You're taking on this virtue to recognize its value in strengthening your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the question becomes is how does taking on the virtue?
And they're tools.
Right. Well, like I said, I took on the virtue of restraint, of not eating after one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What is its effect on my mind? You know, you take on a virtue. You take on I won't kill an animal or I won't eat meat. Right. What's the effect on your mind? This is individual choice. This is not... You say, if it was all of us admirable friends don't eat meat, it would be a pious kind of a... That's not what this is about.
No.
Okay, this is individual choice to pick up a virtue, right? Apply it to your life and see if it helps develop your mind towards reliable happiness. That's why I want to tie this to the actual journaling. What do we pick up? So the first item in the handout is using it as a training tool. It becomes a personal choice, not a commandment from the outside.
Okay.
We never force virtue on others. Rather, we relate to a virtue as a skillful way to act.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's what I just said. Right? Lastly, we practice not to become morally superior. Rather, we take on certain virtues as measuring sticks. I like this. Measuring stick to clarify our intentions. More restraint on our actions serves to highlight our intentions. So that's probably what happened with me this week. You know, it highlighted my intentions. It allowed me to be more aware of what I was doing, why I was doing it. Should I do it? Yes, I'm committed to doing it, and I did it.
But Going back to what we were talking about previously about simplification, it certainly simplified everything from that meal forward, so you're not worrying about what will I eat, when will I eat, you know.
Oh, and a whole bunch of other stuff that a company's
eating. Just took that right off the table.
Look at all
the
work it takes. I mean, take any meal. How much is there involved in the ratio of preparation to actually eating it? Would you say 5, 6, 7 to 1? The amount of effort expended versus eating. You know, you always, you know, look at the broad example of Thanksgiving. How much effort do you put up front?
Right.
And then how quick is the meal gone?
Yeah.
Well, you look at not only what you put up for your dinner, it's what TV show you're watching to accompany it, right? What other things are going on? When you pull out dinner, you pull out meal, the cheese stands alone. It's like, I'm going to have to do something productive with my time or I'm going to go crazy here. Well, I better get down and meditate, you know, or I better do something. I better go work on the garage or do something of value.
But at the same time, mealtime is a very important today. It was always very important for us when the boys were growing up.
Oh, sure.
You know, again, so I mean, like
I
anything
don't mean
else.
This is going to go on forever, okay? But the point is that I brought it on as a training tool.
Yes.
So.
But I was trying to equate that to the simplicity part of it and how that plays a lot of...
It opens up things that you otherwise wouldn't
do. It's true. You don't realize it until you actually...
You don't do it, right? So that's why it's a training tool. That's what insight's all about, is not knowing what you, you know.
Oh, speaking of insight, I wish I had that. You sent me something and I don't have it. Something to do. Now I can't remember. Sorry, I brought it up on the radio that I wasn't that I didn't have it. But you just said something that piqued my interest and made me think about it. You sent me something, a phrase or something about intention and.
Today, the email.
Oh, something. I'll have to dig it out. I'll bring it up next Tuesday.
Okay. All right. So. That's point number one as a training tool, and it's a measuring stick and serves to highlight our intentions, which is precisely what we're trying to do. To tie this point to the journaling, that's precisely what we're trying to do with journaling. We're trying to highlight our intentions.
Yes.
So virtue, taking on virtue as an adjunct to your journaling makes strategic sense, right?
It does.
It opens things up. So as part of your, you know, and that's why you're resolving. Look at your resolutions. No ill will. Harmful speech to yourself. Look how these are virtuous. If you mm-hmm. go back to the program, right?
Being patient, being kind to yourself,
right.
Being kind to others.
They're all strengthening.
Sure.
And, you know, for instance, the girl that was talking about using the journal, and she's also a Brené Brown fan.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been reading Brené Brown, and I wanted to know where Brené Brown starts and where our journaling kind of connects.
Right.
And as you know, because you're a reader of Brené Brown, she makes you feel more confident about yourself and talks a little bit about speaking less harsh to yourself.
Yes.
So, again, these all work together. They work together.
Sure.
Ours is more executable on the actions. Let's roll up our sleeves and let's get to the actions. But, oh, by the way, take on some virtue while you
She's
do
almost
this.
A mainstream Pema Chodron. You know, Pema Chodron does loving kindness, and she talks very
right.
much about loving kindness to yourself and to others. So Brené Brown is just a very mainstream.
And those are all supporting tools.
Yes.
You have to have a kind heart. You have to be acting in a harmless way, right? Or else you're never going to get to the hard work of rolling up your sleeves and being honest about your actions mm-hmm. and your intentions. You're going to spend all your time with ill will.
Right.
You're going to spend all your time fighting with people. Because if you're out there, you know, acting in a harmful way, there's blowback.
Right. And that's a heavy load to lift. I mean, to carry with you. You know, all of that stuff. If you consider
it has a cascading effect. You know, just take ill will. It absorbs you. You know, so you're completely gone from any kind of productive work. And we take this stuff for granted, so you start peeling it away. That's why those resolutions are so important each week. Because when you resolve to abandon ill will,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're making a statement saying, I just refuse to have ill will in my heart. I'm going to let that go when I feel bad towards somebody.
And it might be surprising until you make that resolution, you don't realize how much you have. I mean, I probably would, and I do tend to think, like if I said ill will, right now I'm thinking, oh, I don't have that much.
Right.
But I bet when I actually resolve to do it and see it through.
Well, then write on your journal.
Right. I'll find that it was more than I actually realized, because I think we underestimate just how much of this.
We totally do. We totally
That's
do.
Why it's such a burden and we're so stressed.
Well, we're getting punched all day long in environmental, because you've got a lot of what I call bumper cars out there all day long.
Mm-hmm.
People that don't have their life together and they impede your life. Okay? And you've got to find a way to build a little wall around yourself. Right? Now, the best way to do, instead of trying to go out there and bump with them, bumper cars,
right,
is wish them well and bring closure to it. And get back to working on your own self and where all the leverage is versus trying to, you know, change other people's behavior.
Yeah, so, that's never going to happen.
But wishing well is... But again, just wishing well is not enough. I like the contrarian approach. Abandon ill will and write that down, because that's a very truthful and honest thing. You can say, yeah, I wish a lot of people well during the day. Well, how are you ever going to get to where the ill will is in your heart unless you actually start writing down and acknowledging the truthful ill will you have in your heart?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have it on your journal and say, any ill will today with a question mark,
right,
just mark it down. It's not like you have to confess this and go do 3 Hail Marys. Right?
No.
You're just being honest with yourself. And that's the key to letting go of these things. You've got to be honest to say, I did have ill will. I need to let that go.
Right.
And of course, you've got to conceptually understand how that's getting in the way of your ability to track your own actions and transform your life.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is why we take on these virtues as a training element, not, as you said, a badge of honor or something that we're doing because we're part of a crowd.
Yeah, kind of like I'm better, like I'm better than you or something like that. That's not the...
I hope no one thinks when we say virtue that
that's
what we're
doing. No, and that's why I kind of brought it up. It's like, it's just a...
No, it's equivalent to, you know, like when we used to give in the church, you don't show anybody if you with the money, you crinkle it up in your hand and you put it in. And this is a private deal. You take on these virtues privately, and you do them in a way to strengthen yourself. And they make logical sense. You know, to think about it, act harmlessly. Do you ever benefit from harming anybody?
No.
If your happiness is based upon somebody else, or being harmful, or taking something from somebody else, it comes back. We know this now. We just know this.
Mm.
So there's got to be a way that we resolve not to do these things. So...
Yeah.
The other benefits, of course, is when you, the benefit of good virtue is it lessens the mind's chatter, which we just talked about.
Right.
If you don't have that ill will, you don't have all that conversation.
Well, the dialogue is going on.
Come
busy
on,
talk.
Why won't he change? And then next thing is you bring that garbage to somebody else and you're talking about the person.
Yeah.
Well, that all comes because you brought that garbage up.
Right.
You're holding that in your heart and you're having that conversation. And that's just getting in the way of clarity for yourself.
The other benefit of good character or virtue is it lessens the regret that we live with. And I thought that was kind of interesting because, like you went back, like you said previously about ill will, you know, if you don't, if you abandon any kind of thoughts of ill will, there's nothing to regret. I mean, if you're not harming anybody, there's nothing that you said, gosh, I wish I didn't do that, or I wish I didn't say that, or so.
No residue.
That's key right there. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting thing. But.
Okay, and then of course you cannot discuss taking on virtue without getting to speech. It's like one of the big issues.
Well, speech is very big because there's so many types of speech that are very harmful.
And we're not just talking about external speech. We're also talking to speak to ourselves to get back to Brene Brown.
Sure.
You're talking
the
about
internal,
how you talk to yourself, the internal
conversation
dialogue.
Too.
And those 4 kinds of speeches that we have to avoid are...
Lies, which are words spoken with the intention of misrepresenting the truth.
Right.
Divisive
speech.
Which is...
Spoken with the intent of creating rifts between people.
Mm. Harsh speech, which is the intent of hurting others' feelings.
And lastly, idle chatter, which I call the water cooler discussion.
That's the gossip part of it, isn't it?
That's the gossip.
That is,
And again, all of these four forms of speech are going to stir up the pond.
Linda writes in, three Hail Marys, could be rosary sometimes. Yeah, I do a lot of Hail Marys, Linda. I agree. You know, there's a, that was one of the great things about Catholicism, was having to actually be honest and truthful at that point.
Well, as a child, I can remember about the consequences. You know, we were talking before about consequence.
You weren't beat or anything, were you?
Pardon me?
You weren't beat or anything.
No, but I was talking about, you know, like, if you sin, then you'd have to go confess your sin. So it's like, oh, you know, I'd rather do anything. I would rather do anything not to have to go or confess that or whatever. So it was the cause and effect and the consequence of doing that really kept you on the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
But also, you know, it's the consequence, too. I think, you know, a lot of times growing up in neighborhoods and things like that where, you know, sometimes your neighbor was the extra set of eyes when your mom wasn't home. So you knew that, you know, even though your mom didn't catch you, somebody else was going to speak up and tell her. So it was always that that accountability or that
But action. It was coming from the outside. You see the transition that we're going through, though.
I do. This is now it's the self-policing.
Now it's the self-policing, and that's what we got to do.
But, you know, we have to have the external... We have to have the external example in order to know what we need to do for the internal.
Well, it's a basis of comparison, I'd say. I like the cultures that do rite of passage, because what they're basically saying to those children is, okay, we're growing you up, we're telling you the ways of the world, or in Freud's situation, that would be the superego.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is what our culture is telling you to do. However, go out on your own and sort this out. And that gets to my father's words of wisdom is, buddy, you know the answer's inside. You know, find those answers. And so you need to sort out the internal from the external. And that's where your resolve is going to come from. Because really, as you get out into the world and you grow out of the family environment and you're on your own, you know, parents die. Right? Or they're not there for you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So who's making, you know, who's the chairman of the board? And where are you getting these calls from? Yeah, I agree. It's good to listen to and have that influences. But the real resolve ultimately comes from your own determination internally and your adoption of those. And I kind of proved up all of those through my life, you know, the external, and I continue to do that. When somebody says, this is the way you should live, I say, well, is that true? And I test it from my own experience. And I look at it, is it true for me? And then is it true universally for others? Mm-hmm. So I'm always trying to seek the truth out of those experiences. But that is this practice, is learning how to deal with the inner side. And that's where our security will come from.
Yes.
We can operate from external means and keep us in check and keep us out of jail. But we're not talking, this program is not about staying out of jail. This program is talking about transcending and ending to a reliable happiness. That's a tall order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're setting a high bar here. And Americans want to be happy, right? So the truth is that the real happiness is going to come from doing the work and turning inward and making these choices and learning to be secure from the inner side. That's work.
Yeah.
It's work. So we discussed virtuous speech. Skillful speech in positive terms means ways of speaking that are trustworthy, harmonious, comforting, and worth taking to heart. When we make a practice of these positive forms of speech, our words become a gift to others. So not only are we watching for the negative forms of speech, we're also, and I think this is stuff we can put in our journal too, Carol, can't we? I mean, there's a lot of good things you say during the day, right?
Absolutely. And there's plenty of room on the journal for that, whether writing in the margins or writing.
Yeah.
It's not exclusively, you know.
Prohibiting bad stuff.
It's whatever applies to it.
I like transforming. I like looking at the bad to turn into the good. You know, that's where the leverage is, and I think that's where the time wasters are. You know, because I think we still spend most of our time doing things we like to do that don't get us the results.
I know I do.
And I don't call that bad. I'm just saying.
That's not skillful. It's just not skillful. It's not efficient. It's not where the leverage is.
So why not take the things that you like to do that don't get you results and transform them into the things that you don't like to do?
That's because there's some pleasure that's still alluring. That's a very alluring...
Yeah, but it's only a short-term pleasure, as we discussed.
It is.
As soon as you start weighing against the drawbacks, it starts, you build the case to transform yourself. If you sit there and think long enough, you say, well, is it really getting me anything?
I know, what's the big deal?
And that's when you have to write it down and get support and see others are doing it. This is not really rocket science to do. But it does take a resolve to do it. And you can see why you have to get these other things out of your mind, the ill will and the harmful behavior, or else you could never entertain this kind of a transformation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's skillful speech, and then we got our sense of humor, which ties into, I put in the blast email on tonight's show, the seven forms of healthy ego that are right out of Western psychology we put down. And those are there for you all to read. But you'll see that, again, these we're not out of mainstream. Western psychology covers sense of healthy ego. The only thing, I think our program is a little bit different than traditional Western psychology in that it aims for more reliable happiness. It seems to me, Carol, in reading Freud and studying psychology, it's kind of a harsh approach, and you're always kind of negotiating between... I look at that Jerry Seinfeld show where he has the heart and the mind, and he's playing between the two. It always seems like you're fighting between the heart and mind.
Mm-hmm.
When you take a more harmless and a more reliable happiness goal in mind, it seems like you're in a better position to bring that heart and mind together through skillful behavior and kind of synchronize them, because they're both part of us. There's an emotional part of us and there's a mental part of it. There's an intellectual side. I don't see them as wrestling as much as I do trying to unite those two forces around every action. Because I think every action, every intention has an element of heartfelt response as well as an intellectual side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you go through that journal, you notice that your allure is all heart.
Right.
It's all like emotion. And when you start writing the drawbacks, you start saying, well, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that. Well, there's a disconnect between the intellect and the heart right there in those two journal entries, right? You got to bring those together.
But that's the honing of the skill with the discernment. That's the intellect, the discernment.
Yes, the heart and mind.
Yes.
And salt and pepper working it together. But notice when you go through that journaling process and you have to come up with a new pleasure, right? So we're not saying our intellect over here, the case that we build not to do this unskillful behavior is alone going to make it work. We're just going to toughen it out. And we're going to drop our heart and drop our desires. We're saying, no, let's just kind of redirect desire towards a more skillful end.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a win in there somewhere. There's another desire, another heartfelt choice that will, in Western psychology, it's called sublimation, that you can basically trade for that, that other allure that's not getting you what you want. So you have to go through that. Ultimately, you've got to bring heart and mind together. We've got a couple minutes left.
Well, we've got a list of kind of some of the virtues, and I wanted to tie it into our journal and how we could use these as part of our skillful intentions. And so kind of one of them that kind of jumped out at me was patience and perseverance. When I put down last week, I think, for those that were listening, I was talking about one of my raw skills was my harmony, and how I don't often say what I want to say or I should have said, and I kind of hang back a little bit. And, so I think part of this courage virtue or patience could play into that as far as what are the skillful tools to use, being patient with myself, but being more courageous and confident in what I'm saying. Like you said before, if it's timely, truthful, and beneficial, then I should have confidence if I have those three, check, check, check,
Right. Then
I should have confidence that what I'm saying is the right thing. That it's a very skillful thing to say.
Yes.
So in that regard, having patience would be a key, and just kind of taking it at a time. Like we said, take one at a time. It'll happen. Just be patient.
You're going to be making these journal entries. You're going to make a lot of margin entries. I can see the way you're using virtue. You want to put those in your margin, don't you, while you're figuring your journal out?
I do, because those are like the mindfulness bells.
Yeah.
All the way down. So I kind of.
That's great. That's great.
I like this, but what else?
Where to use it?
What were some of the other ones?
We've only got about 30 seconds left.
Really?
So, yeah. Another show flew by.
Well, I think that if they want to look up on the chapter 5 and go down the list of the virtues, our listening audience, they could take some of those and try to see which ones apply to the skillful intentions that they want to use on their journal.
Yes.
Those are some of the tools. Try it one for size.
It relates. It's another supporting piece to the journal. Next week, apathy and persistence. We'll try to bring some guests on, you think, next week?
I think we probably should.
Yeah.
It's a little more livelier. I know, I mean...
Well, I think it's good to take a break. I enjoyed doing this with you tonight. I just wonder how much our audience wants to just listen to the coaching side, you know, which is what we're doing tonight. We're trying to relate it to first-person experience, but I've really come to enjoy the guests talking about their experience.
Well, they can always email us at hello@admirablefriends.org.
You got it.
Let us know what you think.
All right. Well, thanks all. We'll see you next week.
Good night, everybody.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is, what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.